Bill, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Glenn. Mike, Steve, how's it going?
Coach?
Pretty well.
So how do you go from giving up two big plays in the opening moments of that game to finally guys figuring it out and looking so good the rest of the way?
Well, I think we had our moments throughout the game, but yeah, they did a good job on those long throws. We didn't probably, we're in best coverage we could have been in, and they made good plays on us, so give them credit.
Going into that game, I mean, it was pretty clear. It seemed to be pretty clear that Michael Vick wasn't going to play. Young was getting the practice reps. Did you make a decision at some point during practice, okay, we're going to prepare for Vince Young, or did you have to go along with, okay, if Vince Young is in here, we do this, and if Michael Vick is in, we do that?
I'd say more the latter. Yeah, we kind of prepared for Young. Of course, we saw a lot of Vick on film because he had played quite a bit until the previous game, the Giants game. So most of our tape and our cut-ups had Vick on it. So we talked about some of the things that he did, but we anticipated that it would be Young, and so our preparations were more towards him, with the caveat that, hey, if Vick's in there, we'll have to do a couple of these things a little bit differently.
I know a lot of people look at them as the same. I don't at all. Do you think there are great – I know they both are mobile and both can run, and Vick is faster than Young, but do you look at them as – similar quarterbacks, or is the preparation completely different depending on which guy you're talking about?
I think there's some differences, but they're both in the same offense. They run the same plays, so it's not like there's a new playbook and one guy comes to the game. You still have to defend the same basic concepts, basic things they do. So I think there's a lot of carryover, but you need to have an awareness of which quarterback's in there. There's no question about that.
You seemed offensively, anyway... It seemed almost methodical in the execution. Even when you're down 10-0, there didn't seem to even be a hint of panic. Was there something you knew going into this game that you were going to be able to take advantage of defensively and just allowed your team and the coaching staff to stay calm and relaxed even in the onslaught of a couple of big pass plays?
I think offensively it kind of, the game played out probably a little differently maybe than we thought it would. I thought our second drive was a real good drive. We had, I forget how many, 14 plays or something like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of more runs, and we were able to kind of grind it out. And that was a big drive for us because it took our defense off the field. It gave us a chance to get a few things adjusted and straightened out on the sideline defensively. And offensively, we were able to, I think, control the line of scrimmage a little bit, string together a number of positive plays and finally get the ball in the end zone. And then there was a point in the second quarter and even in the third quarter where we ended up being in empty formations, no backs on the field for consecutive plays in a row, and really became more of a throwing game. And not sure that we expected to be in it that much going into the game. You never really know, but we felt that we had some favorable matchups and we're able to get some opportunities there. And so we just kind of stayed with it. And towards the middle, end of the third quarter there, then we ended up going back to, a little bit more of a mixture of our conventional stuff. So it the game had some different kind of patterns to it, and different than a lot of other games, put it that way. It's a little bit differently.
Would you do that purposely, knowing that your defense was out in the field for a while and chasing Vince Young around? Would you tailor that offensive game plan, like you said, with maybe a few more running plays, maybe a little more ball control, maybe to give your defense a little bit of rest? Does that ever enter into the coordinator's thinking or your thinking?
Sure, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the most important thing is to score and to move the ball and score. So I don't think you want to override what you feel like you need to do that. But at the same time, being able to settle the game down a little bit and get their offense off the field and have a little control, as I said, of the line of scrimmage, and being able to run the ball and make some first downs and just settle things down a little bit. That was important for us. And Billy and O'Brien and the offensive staff and the players, they did a great job of that on that. I think it was our second drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget what drive it was where you ran Green Ellis quite a bit, and it seemed to open up your play action effectively after that. Was it something that they were doing defensively? Obviously, playing for the pass, that you had to run the football a little bit to open that up?
No, I mean, it always opens it up. I mean, anytime you can run the ball, that that draws those linebackers up and usually opens space up between line of scrimmage and the secondary players. So, I mean, really, we always try to do that. We try to run the ball, mix in play action with it, and then we have to throw, try to pick out the patterns that fit the best against the coverages that we anticipate.
You know, I meant to ask you this last week because it was more relevant, but it reminded me of last week's question that should have been when I saw Deion Branch finish off his run with the little improv from Brady. Brady points to him, tells him to go deep. He goes deep, and he finishes the run by putting his helmet down and really giving a good shot to, it was 42, I think it was a safety. But it was a physical play from Deion Branch, and just your receivers last week thought did a good job of blocking. The number one job of the receiver is not to block, but how do you teach that? What are you asking these guys to do? And you don't want a guy who can go out there who can block like crazy and not catch, but you don't want a guy who has no impact in the running game. How do you emphasize blocking with all of your receivers? What's the message to them?
Well, it's, I think everybody understands the importance of it, and you know, it's, other than the quarterback, really, everybody on the team has to offensively block at some point, whether it's backs in pass protection or receivers in the running game, and that leads to big plays, and it also helps them because it sets up play action. So, you know, the coaching points are, you know, number one, assignments, making sure you get the guy that's the most dangerous to the play. That depends on where the play is designed to go, inside or outside or cutback or whatever it is. And so, depending on what the coverage is, the receivers are taught which player is the more dangerous player between the corner and the safety to block on the play. And then, you know, we have various blocking techniques that Chad O'Shea, our receiver coach, goes over with the players, whether it's stalk blocking, crack blocking, two deep safeties, single high corners, rolled up corners, man-to-man coverage, whatever it happens to be. Different techniques to either block them or try to screen them out of the play or get them to react that will draw them out of the play so they don't have to block them. I mean, all those can be effective.
You was yesterday Tom's one of his better throwing days this year in terms of his accuracy, how comfortable he was in the pocket? Because a few times, even though he's getting rushed, he looked very, very comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, I thought Tom had a real good day yesterday. And, you know, he's had a lot of them, so it's hard to, you know, it's just not too many days
where you qualify
to say, well, you know, it's another bad day for Brady. There's not too many of those. But, no, I thought he had a good day. Decision-making, you know, throws, some of the choices he made at the line of scrimmage, getting us out of plays, changing plays, things like that. Movement in the pocket was good. I mean, there's always plays that I'm sure he'd like to have back, and a couple throws or a couple decisions that would have maybe produced more than what they did. But on balance, I thought he did a terrific job of, as I said, sliding, avoiding the pass rush, which was, you know, that was a strong rush. That's a good front, and they used a lot of different guys. They pressured some, they rushed some, but I thought Tom did a great job of seeing the defense, taking good matchups, delivering the ball to the receiver so they could run with it after the catch, and we gained a lot of yardage after we caught the ball. And of course, that's always important in terms of giving the receiver a ball they can handle easily and turn up field with, not have to turn around and dive for it and lose their balance and all that. So all those things were good. Game management was good. The 2-minute drive at the end of the half was, you know, was good. So I thought his operation in the no huddle, when we were, you know, trying to speed up some of our empty formations there before the half and the third quarter, you know, he did a nice job of that too. So
you mentioned Tom changing the plays. I'm sure he has tons of leeway, but does he pick from the whole game plan, or does he have certain parameters that you've preordained for him before going in, or is he just picking whatever he feels like picking when he sees some defense?
No. Usually we have a play called, and I would say 99 times out of 100 we would run that play unless there was a defensive look that made that play one that we wouldn't want to run. You know, and we would say going into the game, well, if we have this play called and they give us this type of look or this type of look. And we start with that in training camp. That's, you know, but try to identify, look, these are the kind of, if they're in this, we really don't want to run this play. That's not what this play is called for. We got better plays. Let's try to either adjust the play that we have or get out of it and do something else. So, you know, if you're trying to throw out cuts to your wide receivers and the corners are rolled up out there, like that's not what you want to do. So you either throw the ball somewhere else or you change the routes and run a different type of play. So things like that, they're pretty fundamental. I don't think it's anything revolutionary in football, but it's just the idea of getting your offense into a play that you have a good chance of that has a good chance of working.
You don't see a lot of the hand signals, though, do you, in this modern era of football? I mean, that was something you saw years ago, the quarterback actually hand signaling out there, which he looked like he was doing at one time to Deion yesterday.
I think there's more of that than maybe what you see. I mean, I see a decent amount of that every week, whether it's us or somebody else doing it. I mean, that's the only way you can, if it's quiet enough, you can communicate verbally, but hand signals are the safer way to go, and that way you know for sure that, you know, you the quarterback and the receiver are on the same page.
With the no huddle, was that something that, because I know Brady, you know, brings things to you guys bring things to him. Was that something that he brought to you and said, you know, I'd like to try this, or was that just the evolution of, you know, Billy O'Brien saying, I think we should try this. Tom, what do you think?
Talking about yesterday?
Oh, just in general. I mean, you know, we've seen it more this year.
We always had that in our game plan. That's not anything that I can't remember the last time. It would have been, 10 years ago. We went into a game plan where we didn't have no huddle. I'm not talking about 2 minute, but, you know, have no huddle really as part of the game plan. I think it just depends on the game, and there are a lot of factors that can go into it. The tempo of the game, the matchups that you know you create, and whether you feel like no huddle gives you an advantage in those matchups, conditioning, you know, score situation, field position, all those kind of things. So if we feel like it gives us an advantage, then you know we'll consider and maybe we'll do it. If we don't feel it gives us an advantage, then there are other things that we would want to do instead of that. And of course, one of the great advantages is the tempo of the game, playing fast and being able to force the defense to line up. But, you know, one of the drawbacks is it takes you out of your full complement of plays and also your formationing. And, you know, it's just hard to line up in a lot of different formations and use motion and things like that when you're trying to go at a fast pace. You know, the two just don't tie together, so you're kind of picking one or the other.
The touchdown pass to Welker, there's some word out there that Wes came to Tom and said, I might give him a little look like it's an in cut for the safety, and then hit to the post. Did that happen, and does that happen with other players too? I know Wes and Tom are probably on the same page 99% of the time, but do you have your players have a lot of leeway to come to each other and to the coaches and say, hey, we can do this, we can do that?
Well, again, as you know, Steve, that's a lot of that happens during the week. You see things on film, and you see the way certain players, your opponents play, or the way that team will play a particular route, or you'll see it on film and say, gee, if that guy, instead of running this route, had it just taken it upfield, he could beat him. And, you know, then we'll look if we had this route on and that happens, or if we had that route on, or that type of thing. So it's something that you talk about, and it'll happen occasionally in practice too. Our defense will either, the Philadelphia defense that we're trying to simulate, we'll either not play it right or maybe not play it quite the way that Philadelphia is playing it, and that opportunity is created, and then the receiver will make that adjustment, and hopefully Tom will see it, and we'll hit it, and then we might say after the play, well, you know, they don't really play it that way, but if they did, this is what we would do, and hopefully it'll work like that in the game. So a lot of that anticipation comes before the fact. Occasionally you don't anticipate it. You get into the game and you find out in the game, well, gee, they're playing this a little differently than we thought they would. We think we have an opportunity to do something. You talk about it on the sideline, hey, the next time this happens, you know, one of those deals. So it can kind of happen either way. But usually you kind of anticipate that going into the game, that if they're playing it the way they played it against somebody else or against another receiver, this is something we could take advantage of. And Wes did. He came down. He made a nice, you know, quick inside move there on Allen, and he, you know, saw that he wasn't given any ground, and then Wes just went right by him. Tom saw the same thing. Every once in a while you run one of those, and the receiver goes deep, and the quarterback throws it right to the defender, thinking he's going to break it off, you know, then you get into the we don't ever want to do that again. So you gotta be on the same page. You gotta be careful, but experience and repetition makes all that a lot more possible.
Well, I asked you that because I remember when I first got to the Giants, you actually asked my opinion on something, and I thought you were kind of goofing on me because I'd never had a coach actually ask my opinion on something, and you actually wanted my opinion. You've got enough veterans on this team where it's not just you're not just handing down the game plan on like Moses from the mountain and with the Ten Commandments. You involve your players, your veteran players at least, in the overall design of the game plan.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's a player's game, and the players are out there playing. Once you call the play, you, as a coach, you don't have any control of the game anymore. You know, the balls and the plays are in the hands of the players and the decisions they make. Pre-snap and post-snap, that's what players do. They play and they make decisions. So, if the decision's easier for them or it's something they can see or something they can do, as a coach, my feeling's always been, well, if they can do it, then, you know, I'm all for doing it. If they can't do it, then I don't want to ask them to do something that, even though it looks good to me as a coach and it looks good on paper, if we can't actually get it done on the field, then it's not worth it. Let's try to do something that we know we can execute.
Well, on those same lines, when you're game planning, how different is it when you get to week 10, week 11 versus game planning earlier in the season? Haven't seen a lot of the younger players. Now you've got a real good sample. You know what their skill set, what they can do out there. And you've also seen an awful lot of plays by that team. Do you see a lot of surprises when you get into week 11, week 12?
Well, that's a tough question to answer, Glenn. It really is. I mean, in some respects, you know, probably no, not shocking surprises, but subtleties. And because, again, they've been watching you that same length of time, too. And, yeah. And a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, this is the way we want to play this team because based on the buildup of all these examples that we have, they really don't do this, or they really, in this situation, they'll do that. This receiver will run that route, and we're going to hit it harder because we really feel like, you know, that's what it's going to be. So there is a little bit of that. I think, you know, one thing when you get with a veteran players like Brady, like Welker, like Branch, they have such a great wealth of knowledge, and it's not just based on one game or one scouting report or one week of film study. There's a lot of times where, you know, we'll be on the sideline and especially talking to Tom and, you know, something along the lines of, yeah, this is what the Redskins did to us in 07. You know, this is the game plan we saw from, you know, Pittsburgh in 04, this same type of thing. And we'll both know immediately what this is what we're talking about. You know, these are the kind of things they were doing. Yeah, this is kind of the way they want to play us, the way some team played us 5 years ago. We're not talking about the same players. We're not talking about, but, you know, maybe it's the same coordinator, or maybe it's just the same general kind of philosophy of playing a game. And it's like, yeah, and you know, what we did against that worked or didn't work was this, and, you know, hey, I think this would be a good play in this situation because this is what they're doing. It's the same thing we went through, you know, in some other game. And that game's made an impression on us because of what happened in that game, you know, something that we had trouble with or something that worked particularly well in a situation that we might want to come back to now that this situation presents itself again. And maybe it's been 3 or 4 years since it was like that. You know, the way they play a tight end or the way the corner plays or the way they, you know, line up against a certain formation. But, you know, that's one of the great things working with players like, you know, again, like Tom or like Dion, Wes.
They're almost like another coach.
Well, they have that experience, and because we're in the same system and it's been, you know, a lot of years, and they have that great recall, you know, Billy O'Brien now, you know, for, you know, years we can go back and talk about, you know, a game from 08 or a game from 07 or a play from 07. And, yeah, remember how we ran it back then, and this is why we ran it that way because of the way this guy was playing. And things like that. So, you know, I think that continuity and that consistency really helps your overall execution, provided you can handle it.
All right, quick break, and then we'll get into Indianapolis coming up this Sunday here at July.
Loud, clear, and everything you wanted in a sports station. It's Boston's new FM home for sports. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM at WEEI.com.
It's one day only, the Joseph A. Bank Super Tuesday Sale. Everything in the store except gift cards, rentals, watches, and shoes is half off the regular price. Plus, buy any three items and take 60% off. That's everything in the store, 60% off. For this incredible offer, we're opening early at 8 at most locations with everything from suits and sport coats to dress shirts, sweaters, and leather jackets, 60% off on three items or more. For one day only, the Joseph A. Bank Super Tuesday Sale. Any three items, 60% off. Tuesday only.
With 20 area locations on Boylston Street and State Street, Burlington, Canton, North Andover, Hingham, Millbury, Needham, Plymouth, and Framingham.
Town Fair Tire always has the guaranteed lowest prices. Some people think they'll save buying online from someone else, but they'll actually spend more with extras like mounting and tire rotation. At Town Fair Tire, they're free. So is flat repair, snow tire changeover, and front wheel alignment. That's why nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
Holly and Ordway return.
Get back to your positions.
Here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, back here with the Big Show. It's Patriots Monday. Our chat with the coach, Bill Belichick. Indianapolis on the board on Sunday. You were talking about this earlier with Vince. And so often you see Indianapolis and you see them at the top of the standings. And this is a team right now that has struggled, obviously, without their starting quarterback, Peyton Manning. How do you avoid the trap syndrome? You've done this for an awful long time. You were just talking about veteran players, and I'm sure the veteran players will know this as well, because nobody this week is going to talk about Indianapolis having any chance whatsoever of beating New England. How do you avoid all that stuff with the players? Forget about us. You know, I mean, you already have. I know that.
We never really talk about the team's record. We talk about the team. We talk about the team we're playing, what their strengths and weaknesses are, what they do, how they'll try to attack us, and what we'll try to do to attack them. And you expect every team to play their best against you. You look at them on film, you see good plays, you see bad plays. But we always expect to see their best plays because that's what we prepare for. We don't expect them to screw up, and we don't plan on screwing up. We want to execute our best plays against, you know, what they do well, and we expect them to do it well against us. So that's the way we prepare for every game. We don't, you know, if a team's got a good record or bad record, we don't change our preparation any. We look at what they do and try to be analytical about it and figure out what we can do with it and try to make the most of it.
You know, you mentioned before, it really does come down to players, and I would guess they're running the same offense now with Painter in there, but you know, you look at Painter versus Peyton Manning, I'm sure with the experience and talent level of Peyton Manning, certain things that he does much more easily, much more instinctive than what they have going right now. Is it essentially the same offense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd say it's the same offense. They there are some modifications in it, and I don't know. I wouldn't say it's quite as expansive as what it was with Manning. And, of course, you know, Peyton was the kind of player, as we were just talking about, that they could take whatever plays they had and see what you're doing and get into the game and say, you know what, these aren't really the plays we want to be running today. They've changed what they're doing. We need to change what we're doing because of what they're doing. And they would do that. So, you know, I think the Colts certainly have that ability. But, you know, Manning would do a lot of things on his own. You know, plays under center, he'd back off into the shotgun, be in the shotgun, come up under center, change the play, things like that. So, I'd say they don't do quite as much of that, but fundamentally it's still the same system.
What are they doing effectively, if anything? Because it seems like they've been in a few games until midway through the third quarter or towards the end of the third quarter, and then they find a way to lose the game. Are they doing anything well?
I think they do a lot of things well. You know, I mean, there's a lot of the same players that we've seen before, you know, are still there, and they're big factors. You know, the Reggie Waynes and the Mathises and the Freenies and Bethes and all those guys. But, you know, as usual, turnovers, or you know, turnovers, penalties, big plays, can swing it in a hurry. And as an opponent, you can never go into a game and count on turnovers. You know, going into the game, we know we're going to get, you know, four or five turnovers. I mean, you can never think like that, because you don't know if you're going to get them or not. Right. But you know, if you can turn the ball over, then that certainly helps your chances of winning. And so that's something we always try to strive for. But at the same time, you know, it's our goal is the same this week as it is every week: protect the ball, try to take it away from them when we get the opportunity, and that'll help you win any game. But you know, there's no question turnovers have hurt them, and you know, they've had some plays go against them, big plays go against them, you know, defensively in the kicking game. So, but you know, they're in a lot of games. They've certainly had, you know, a lot of chances to win this year, and I'm sure it'll just be a matter of time before they do, because they're not a bad football team. They don't have a good record, but they have a lot of good players, and they're well coached, and you know, they do a lot of things well.
Mm-hmm. You've got the question of the week. Go ahead.
Oh, you want the question of the week? That's what you've been thinking about right now?
Yeah.
You've been thinking about that the whole time?
Well, okay. I'm just looking at the clock.
So. Okay. All right. Question of the week. Time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by Lexus of Watertown. This week's question comes from Sandra DiStefano of Tewksbury. Sandra asks Bill, you've been a football coach for most of your life. If you weren't a coach, what profession do you think you would have gone into otherwise for a living?
That's a great question, Sandra. I don't know. My dad told me from a very young age that said, well, you know, I know you're not dumb enough to go into coaching. I know you're smarter than that, so you'll find something else to do.
How'd that work out for you?
So, I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah.
I remember we asked you that a couple of years ago, and you'd say you would you'd be a lacrosse coach. That's what you told us.
Well,
but
yeah.
Again, that's a coach.
Yeah,
that's coaching.
Coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be outside of coach.
Well, I could definitely coach lacrosse. I mean, I've done that. I've, you know, worked at you know, work with high school kids and pre-high school, you know, junior high school type kids. So I've done some of that, you know, with my kids and also with other kids when I was out with the Lions and in Denver a little bit. So, yeah, I would definitely give that a shot. But
how about the front?
I don't know, it's a tough one.
How about the front office of an NFL team? You know, Bill Parcells, after he was coaching, he went into that for a little bit. Could you do that based on how much
for
you
a little
love
bit.
Being down here? Could you do that?
For a little bit.
Because you're doing everything, you know, a lot of stuff here, but could you just do that part of the job?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one, Glenn. I haven't really thought about it. Certainly, I think any time you look at a structure of an organization, whether it's in football or anything else, but in this case in football, you know, you'd have to ask a lot of questions about what first thing I would ask is, what do you want me to do? And then I would have to know whether or not I felt like I could do it. And if the jobs fit, then maybe there's something to talk about. If they don't, then, you know, who are you working with? What are your responsibilities? What are your parameters? You know, do you feel like you can be successful in doing the job that they want you to do? And can you do it with the people that you have to do it with? And every situation would be different. And I really couldn't answer that question without looking at the specifics of it, whether it be coaching or not coaching.
I got the perfect job for you. You can talk about sports, and you're never wrong. Sports Talk Radio.
There we go.
Come on.
I'm actually picturing something with the CIA, the NSA, maybe the Pentagon or something like
the
that.
Pentagon.
I'd be right up your alley.
I can picture doing something like that. Along the lines of the... Oh, sorry. Go
before
ahead,
I was
going
to say, yeah. For being selected, Sandra wins a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. The coach's question of the week is presented by Lexus of Watertown in the December to Remember sales event. Submit your question for the coach at weei.com/coach. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. Enter at weei.com/coach for your chance to win.
Coach, while
it's
we're
100
on,
bucks at Sports Authority.
$100.
Does
yeah.
that catch you like a Bill Belichick sweatshirt?
You can do that.
Tom
hoodie.
Brady jersey.
Do that. Hoodie. No, not a Tom Brady jersey. Those are about $200.
They're a lot more expensive than the hoodie.
Yeah. Depends on what kind of Tom Brady
that's
jersey.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
You know, along the lines of the coaching, you made an interesting comment towards the end of your press conference after the game yesterday. You mentioned that this is a tough place to play and that you can be a tough guy to play for. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I just think that I think on this team that we demand a lot of the players, and both on and off the field, in terms of their approach to the game, their work ethic, their preparation, things we expect them to do away from the facility as it relates to football, And, you know, I think it's a demanding program. It's probably not the right one for everybody. And for those that have been in it and have been in other programs, they usually come back and talk about how demanding it was. So, you know, I understand that. I recognize that. And I think our guys this year have really worked hard and tried to do the things we've asked them to do. And you know, that's not easy. It's not at the end of the day, well, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night. It's go home, work on this, study your game plan, watch film, come in, get treatment early, do this, do that. You know, so they think they've tried to do that, and I think we've improved and we've gotten better. We're competitive, and, you know, hopefully we can stay on that track.
Is there a certain element of players buying into it, and do you have to win for players to buy into it? You've been very successful over the years, and I would think if you were losing a lot of those games, a lot of those players wouldn't buy into some of that discipline that you're talking about.
All right. Well, we didn't win a lot of games here in 2000. And, you know, we lost some games in Cleveland when I was the head coach, too. So, you know, I think your program doesn't necessarily, I don't think wins and losses is always a true measure of progress of a program. And we've all seen that before, too. You know, sometimes you can be making progress, but it not always show up, you know, on the scoreboard. Eventually, hopefully it will, but it doesn't always show up right away. And conversely, you can be doing all right, but maybe things aren't really all that good either. And it's just a matter of time until, you know, the results reflect that. So, you know, the scoreboard is not always the final indicator. It's a big indicator, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I think just the overall improvement of your team, hopefully, is that's really what you're striving for, and hopefully that will be reflected in the final score.
All right, Bill, good luck against Indianapolis. And Diassi did tell us you were easy to work for. I mean, I think he said that numerous times.
Well, he recovered.
He's a kid. That's not difficult at all.
He actually recovered from his coaching career from having actually let me start for him at the Giants. So he overcame that blunder.
Steve, you're easy to coach.
You just spoke in small words and sentences. That's all.
That's all. He dumbed it down for you, Diassi.
That's all.
All right, Bill, we'll see you back here next week.
See you next week.
See you later.